Hey, what's going on with the intro?
Are we in here? Right here?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Flank. We are doing it live from Major One Raleigh. I'm joined by Chris Parasite. We got Ben J. Nassim, and we also got Patrick Price Aches on a headset. What's going on, Pat? You there? Hello?
Yeah, I listened to Tom. I got my invisible camo on. I'm on the couch.
Good,
they
Pat,
just can't
good,
see me
bro.
Right now. They can't see me,
it's
but
fun.
I'm here.
Pat will be joining us on Friday.
Yeah, he'll be here during the weekend,
yeah,
chat. He'll be here. He just had some work. He had to take care of him. He
Working
lives in the
X
area.
Defiant.
Yes, sir. How's it going with work, Pat? How's X Defiant going?
It's going great, Tom. One of our factions has camo, as you can see. I popped it here live on the flank. Right. But, yeah, it's going great. It's going great.
Yeah, it's going great, man. We had a long day of COD today, man. A long fucking day. We obviously had four pools. It's pool play matches, right? We had challenger teams who got dropped into every pool as well, and the challenger teams came out to play, man. I mean, they were no fucking joke today.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously go through the pools and talk about it a little bit. But let's just get it going, man. I want to kind of get into some of these teams and talk about the matches. Let's start with the first group. Let's start with Group A. NYSL come out and smoke Minnesota Rocker. 3-0. New York Subliners already qualified for tomorrow. I think they won two series today,
yeah.
Right? So New York Subliners always...
Map.
Yeah, they're already moving through. They look good today, man. One word I got to say. I got to gas this guy, bro.
Yeah.
Parista, man. Parista today.
So good.
Put on an absolute show. I mean, Pat, I don't know how much you were able to tune in today, but did you see P-Dog today? I mean, these guys was phenomenal. He's great.
Hey, I've been waiting for it, Tom. I've been calling for
it.
I've
been
asking for it. And
this
yeah, he
him.
Delivered. He delivered.
Yes,
he was
sir.
Him today.
He was him. Yes, sir. Chris, Ben, what did you guys think from the
New
York Subliners today? They were great.
Definitely deserves his flowers. I thought when we had Caesar on our watch party, I felt like all four of them are playing really, really good right now. You know, we know that they really struggled the first week of the CDL. And since then, I think they've started to play a little more free. Caesar was talking about when he was on our watch party that they felt like they were playing scared, like they weren't challenging, they weren't playing their game. And so since then, I feel like they're playing to their potential, which is, if you think about it, Kid is not a slow player, Preston not a slow player, Hydra not a slow player. They have almost like this Thieves face thing where they're just in your face constantly, generating engagements and pressure, and it's just really hard to play against when they're in their system. So
let's also not forget, though, Ben. Let's also not forget. Huge catalyst. They literally shot botch round one. Insane confidence booster for them. They got the best matchup
I think they could have asked for.
Big
factor?
Bots.
Massive. They literally showed up first series, shot some recruit bots, and just, they just were full steam ahead after that.
He's cooking.
They just
Rocker.
Got the confidence
rolling. Are you cooking Rocker? Are you cooking LAG? Because they played.
Actually, they did play LAG.
No, he's cooking Rocker.
He's
cooking
LAG
right now.
No, he's cooking LAG. Yeah,
I mean, bro.
Because LAG got smoked today. I mean, NYSL looked great. I mean, 2-3-0s today. I mean, they're going on to brackets with ease. They look good.
I pulled up the LAG stats. I saw 0.5, 0.6, 0.7. I was like, damn.
They do have a problem with slaying power. I mean, I feel like they just have to focus on their kills a little bit, man. They're all over the place.
I don't think it's a slaying power problem. I think that they need to play together more. I think this game is like very punishing on solo challenges unless you really, really do a good job. Camera people, now we were seeing subs go off today. But bro, I think just overall their team was really sloppy. They got smoked on a couple of hard points today. I know they ended up beating your team, Chris, in their second match. LG is still alive, but they're in that danger zone, Tom. You just don't know tomorrow when they face off. I believe they play
Minnesota Rocker
to get out. I don't have the LAG boys favorite in that match. So,
Well, that's going to be an elimination game tomorrow. The lights come on here, so sorry if it's a little bright, but the lights are coming on. They're going to be doing some cleanup here in the venue.
We are bright.
We could probably turn these lights off, or Ben, you maybe if you want to try and turn them off, but if not,
it might be
a good
idea because we are bright.
Yeah, we look so
I look
bright.
Like a ghost.
I'll turn the exposure on the camera. Keep talking.
Chris is blending into the couch.
But we. a elimination match tomorrow with LAG and Rocker. I mean, Pat, how do you think that's going to go? That's going to be a good match. You think
LAG
can knock out Rocker?
Rocker's gonna smoke. I think it'll be a great match, Tom. I think I think it'll be a great match for people who don't have a lot of time and they want to watch a full game real quick. I think it'll be a quick 25-minute series, and it'll be a great game for those who are in a hurry that are watching the broadcast.
Chris, would you agree with Patrick Price there?
Yeah, no.
Looks
I mean,
better. Looks better.
Just because obviously this was the pool that my challenger team dropped into. We didn't play good at all this today, but we did have much more competitive maps versus LAG. I don't know if that was obviously because we had more time to warm up in between the series. Because there was actually server issues this morning. But overall, I mean, they made up for it. But regardless, I think the better team is just Rocker. Like, period. I mean, from online to
agree.
LAN, they're just a better team. I'm still not hot on LAG, obviously.
Chris, is your team, do you fall back into the challengers bracket?
Yeah, we How's start that? At top 32, so the... My challenger team plays on Saturday. They play tomorrow.
So this is actually a crazy thing. I was just talking to Enable about it. Is like the AM teams are actually in a way better spot in this format than the pro teams. Like they have a second life. The pro teams are kind of just done and dusted.
It's the third pro team. The pro team that doesn't make it, into bracket play gets screwed. Whereas Chris's team's gonna be able to play the weekend. Like
But the only reason they did it, at least. This is just for the challengers, right, just so you guys can understand, is because there's no – unless they were to give the amateur teams guaranteed pro points, then they would fall behind in points because, like, going to the pro-am and being in the major would give them none. So they would fall behind in terms of seeding for the rest of the year. So they had to make it so they're either gifted X amount of pro points.
That makes sense.
Which would have to be equal to, like, winning the tournament because, obviously, they don't have the potential to do so.
Right.
Or they're seeded back in the tournament so they can earn those points for the rest of the season. So that's – literally the only reason why they're being seated back.
That makes more sense. Mm-hmm. It seems like they have to do it, or else it's just unfair.
The weird thing is, though, if let's say, like, Elevate or LAG, I think we'll talk about those guys soon, but they're in a good position where I think one of them at least will probably make the actual major bracket.
Yeah.
This is challenger stuff, but do they get points? Like, they have to get
I'm
points.
I'm sure they get points.
They have to. Once they're in the bracket, they don't go back to challengers at all. Like, they are in major one bracket, and
they get
stuck.
Points. They have
You're
to get points.
You're talking about LAG Academy?
Like, yeah, like Academy say a challengers team makes it to the bracket, Pat. Do they get points for that? They have to.
Yeah, they'll have to.
I think they would have
to.
But I think the real problem here is if the LAG Academy team makes it to the bracket, LAG just needs to put their pro team in challengers and their academy team in the pro league.
Yeah, we were talking about stream because it's like, what do? You paid all that money, ideally to get Alex.
I mean, look, you just say, hey, I've made horrible management decisions. I need a team who can shoot, and you take the team who can shoot.
But I mean, Ben makes a good point. They invested a lot of money into that team, bro.
And they have to recontract everybody. They're in an interesting spot. I think let's see what happens through the weekend. But I like,
yeah, they have another day tomorrow.
Ben, I think the funny thing about this though is we've always talked about how like there's been academy teams in past CODs where like. How their academy team is better than their pro team. We've always talked about it, memed about it. But, like, we're almost getting tangible proof here, and that puts them in a very interesting spot. And especially when, like, you could always argue a harder pool or whatever, but no. I think right now, LAG Academy, hardest pool. They have FaZe, and Seattle, which, granted, they might not have looked the best online. We already know the potential of Seattle as a team and the talent that they have. Yeah. And last year, they won a major. So, like, they're playing against some of the hardest and best players that our league has to offer, and they look damn competitive.
Yep, no, I agree. Group A is getting pretty mixy. Tomorrow we will have an elimination. We got LAG going up against Minnesota, so we'll see what happens there. You guys are, what, 0-1?
No, we're gone.
You guys
are
done.
We're back in the
amateurs. You guys are eliminated.
Like I said, we played terrible Call of Duty, but I'm sure my guys are going to use it to learn from it, and that's all
that matters, bro. You can't get better practice than this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And NYSL, they moved through in Group A. So any final thoughts of Group A? Ben, you want any final thoughts on some of these teams? Or?
I mean, let's see. It feels like Rocker should be favored to get out of this group. I thought they would get first seed, but New York got first seed. I'm curious to see what New York does in the bracket. Curious to see if Minnesota close it out. And this is a real danger point for LAG. So we'll
also, I want to show some love just because I didn't really talk too much about the subliners. I just want to show some love to the team. I mean, dude, they all
good.
Played really good.
Yeah, they do.
And I think a big catalyst of them playing well in general was the fact that the M4 got GA'd. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit on the show, but they have arguably, some people might not think so, but they have some of the best SMGs like in the league right now in terms of a duo. Hydro, you know, is going to pop off.
Yep.
And then Kismet, you know what Kismet brings to the team. He brings that aggression. He brings that grittiness, right? That's, I think, one word that describes Kismet as a player is he's very gritty. He gets in the mix. It doesn't matter if he's in hell, in war, in the game. Like, he always finds a
he's
way
unselfish
to be
too,
impactful.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think that, too, as a combo, if they gel and like they have been,
yeah,
that's a hard duo to deal with in terms of the aggression they can output.
Yeah, and he's super unselfish. He plays really well off of Hydra. Like, their play styles work really well together. So
yeah,
that's a good link up, man. We'll be tuning into that duo as the weekend goes on. Let's get into Group B. We got Toronto Ultra. We got Polo Drum, which is the Spanish team from Challengers. And then we got Optic and Florida. So this group actually got fucking crazy.
Where do you want to start with this group?
I don't even know where to start. Let's start with Toronto and Polo Drum. Toronto went down 0-2 to Polo Drum. So everybody was like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? Scrappy tweeted yesterday, whatever team comes out of Challengers.
Absolute, might have been the coldest take of all time if they actually lost.
Yeah, I mean, Scrappy came after the fact. And what's going on, Azim? You hopping on? What's up, bro? Put the headset on. What's up, bro?
Yeah, to finish Tom's thought, the Toronto Ultra Boys did end up closing that series out. And then, Tom, we had Optic Florida. We've talked a lot about how in this matchup it gets kind of mixy, day patty and all of that. And it went to a round 11
team,
in search.
Different team.
Yeah, but I mean, this one was also a banger, too, and it went to round 11 and Optic closed it out.
Banger. I mean, I didn't want
to
move on that quickly from the Toronto Polo Jump.
Or go back to Toronto.
I just thought Polo Jump put on a show today. Yeah. Like, they look good, bro. They did not look bad by any means.
Listen,
like,
bro, I'm going to give a shout out. I've always been a big proponent of Challengers. I played Challengers for three years, realistically, of playing in the lower, the semi-pro scene. And, dude, I've met so many talented people. I met whenever I played in BO4, I met Exceed, I met Sib, I met Mac. And, like, dude, you saw where those guys were. Exceed's killing it right now. Then, like, the next couple years, I'm meeting even more of these players. And I've always – people always, like – a lot of people write off Challengers. A lot of people are like, oh, dude, it's not that crazy. Like, they don't have the support down there and stuff like that. But, like, I think this event, if anything, is a – it shows you how important it is for us to invest in Challengers.
Yeah,
the last Pro-Am I don't think was very accurate because it was later in the year. And by then, the pro teams have enough time, right? They're playing constant majors and tournaments, and they're also playing against pro teams every day, while the amateurs, they don't get as much practice support down there. But now, like at the beginning of the year, this is the fairest, most even playing field the amateurs have had compared to the pro scene. And you're seeing almost every single AM team was going map five
three,
with pro
three
teams.
Three or four went to game five, and one did end up actually getting that W.
And two of them won their matches. And one of them almost beat FaZe, which a lot of us have always considered one of the best, if not the best team in the game. Like, this is exactly why Challengers needs more support, period.
Yeah, or expansion, right? People were talking about expansion in the chat. Just goes to show how much talent's down there, you know, and how many people deserve to probably be up here in the league. But listen, before we move on from groups, Asim, how you doing, bro?
Doing
obviously
pretty good,
better
man.
Days, man.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Better days. What happened today?
I don't know. I just feel like we've lost our fifth series in a row, so we're kind of in a downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm just really gutted, to be honest.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm surprised you're here. Well, first and foremost, thank you for being here after a loss. I mean, I'm sure that's not easy.
Yeah.
I didn't expect you to come on.
Yeah, no, I told you. I'm a man of my word. I told you I would come, so. And I showed up.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Let's get some Wasteems in the chat. It's never easy to lose at an event. Bro, I've been there. You've been there.
I
you
feel
know?
Like shit right now where my team's still playing technically.
Yeah,
like,
I see a lot of people in the chat that can read my face. Like, this is the type of shit that we go through as pro players. Like,
yeah,
100%. I mean, bro, you've been through for 10 years. Tag has gone up for 10 years. Like, when you lose, it feels like the whole world is crashing above you.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to come out and, you know, show love to you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you, my guy. You hang in there, bro. Hang in there.
You
look good.
You
like
play.
not even you individually, you look good out there.
I
you know, you were
that.
Doing your thing. But you know, it's part of the game, bro. You
part
win some, you lose some. And the only thing you can do is like go back to the drawing board and get back to business and get ready to fight for the next one. Because anything can happen at the next one. But it's hard because you put all these hours every day. You guys scrim for hours and hours and hours. You watch VOD and you do all this shit. And when you get here, you know, if you get eliminated early, you know, you like you said, you feel like it all crashes down on you.
Feels like all your work was for nothing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like since November 2nd, I feel like I've given it my absolute all every single day, and I'm happy I can say that.
Yeah.
But to lose on the first day, it's like what Haggy just said. Like,
bro,
it feels like it's nothing.
Asim was here at like 10 a.m. shooting bots.
I was the first guy in the line.
Yeah,
the
you always are.
My team was
grinding.
Here early. My team was here early because we had to do headshots. And I was like, oh, let me see if any pro teams are here. Anyone's looking for a scrim. I literally go to the back. I see Asim hoodie on, just like
scrimming already.
He was playing pubs.
I was playing pubs. And Haggy scared me. He came behind me. He was like, boo. I was like, dude, who the hell was that? And Haggy's like, yo, what's going on, man? I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? Just Flame Pups.
Well, hey, bro. I mean, I'm sorry you guys got eliminated, you know, but now it is what it is. You know, at this point, you just fucking go back to the drawing board and try and figure it out. How's the team holding up? I'm sure everybody's probably upset.
Yeah, we're all pretty down bad. Down bad. We had a good meeting afterwards, talked about what we need to work on, talked about how to make us a more efficient team. Because, like I said before, we have lost 5 series in a row, so we have to figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't know if a lot of people know, but there's still, like, that 2 to 3 week break until Stage 2. So we definitely have a lot of things to work on over the Christmas break. But, yeah, that's really all I was going
to
say.
Well, Ism, I appreciate you coming on. We're going to get to your group. You guys are Group D, so that's the last group. We'll get to that eventually. But let's go back to Group B, because we were talking about Polo Drum a little bit, talking about Toronto. Ultra looked good. I mean, the first two maps looked a little rough. I don't know if they just came out against Polo Drum just a little flat. Maybe they just weren't into it.
Listen,
first
goes,
series, you were talking
goes,
about
this. This goes back to Chris's thing. I thought a good factor in these first series was, one, to your point, Chris, the even playing field, but also, two, like, the Challengers teams were here yesterday.
Yeah.
They played a lot of series. They, like, that first couple of maps, they already have a feel for the pace, the environment, the setup, and the pro team's got to kind of, like, ease their way in. So I'm not surprised those first couple of series went to Game 5. And, yeah, I mean, you know, the Toronto guys look good. Obviously, they took care of business in the reverse sweep, and then were they clinical against Optic. Surprised Scrap didn't talk more smack after that series. But, yeah, were we – Toronto looks good, man. This team's a legit contender, bro.
No, they are. They have a lot of talent, and their teamwork is good. You know, they work really well together.
Scrap learned Spanish out of nowhere, because as soon as they started to come up,
he came
in. Talking.
Bro,
it was so funny, bro.
He didn't learn Spanish. We had him on here. He literally went into Google Translate and then just memorized.
Bro, he literally
he did the Kobe. Kobe's done that.
Google translated some shit talk and then started fucking
saying
stupid shit.
Bro, nah, he rolled his R, bro. He knew what he was doing. I was just sitting in the back. He was like... he's like, you're a mierda or something like that.
No,
he called him shit.
Scrappy letting him know, man. Scrappy, you know Scrappy. He's not afraid. He's super entertaining to watch all weekend long. You know, we're going to be tuning into Scrappy and his gameplay because he's been on point for sure. And then after that, let's talk about Optic a little bit. Optic and the Florida Mutineers. I mean, bro, what a series. What a fucking series. This one went all the way down to the wire, round 11. And Optic, able to clutch it up in the last second. I mean, did you guys expect it from Florida Mutineers? Did you expect it to be so close?
I didn't expect it, but I knew the potential was there.
So. Yeah, me too. And Pat, I know you're here. I want to ask you this, Pat. Colt Havoc, you've been waiting to see something from this guy. He was unreal today, Pat. Unreal. What did you think of from Colt's performance?
What did they beat today?
Did Florida beat Polo Drum? So yeah. Polo Drum's out because they went 0-2. They lost to Toronto, got reverse swept. Tomorrow, Optic plays Florida again. Winner moves through. Mm. So, we're going to get there. That's going
to
be fucking
crazy. Let's go to Pat real quick.
But let's go to Pat. Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Havoc played well. But the problem that I saw was my man Vickle.
What, the Suey himself? You think Vickle had a... It was his first event on a big stage, to be fair. It's his first time on a big stage.
Yeah. But this is also Scrappy's first, on a big stage. Like, we're seeing 1.5s out of Scrap.
We've already established that Scrappy is not a human being, bro.
Yeah, that guy's very different.
Bro, yeah.
That guy's a very different person than, anyone. So, I mean, I wouldn't compare the two. But, yeah, I think Vickle had a rough series. I'm still pretty high on the guy. I think he's a good player. He's a good. If you guys don't, like, really know him, he's a really good, like, teammate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, that's something that he's got going for him.
I think what I saw, though, is Vickle just needs to slow down. Like, he's not matching the pace of everyone else on his team. I think he had, like, 30 more deaths almost than every single one of his teammates.
Okay. That's probably a problem.
Which is a lot, right? Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, even if you're getting baited, like, 30 more deaths in a series is kind of nuts.
Trying to do too much.
Yeah, exactly. So I think for in this rematch tomorrow, I think Havoc's going to have to play, overperform the way he did today, and I think Vickle's going to have to slow it down a lot, and they're just going to have to play a little bit different of a game.
But the nice thing is, so the matches start, we'll get to the final schedule later, but the matches start a little bit later tomorrow, so you have overnight and then a couple more hours after that to review the VOD, to your point, kind of break it down with Vickle and figure out how he can slow it down a little bit, because that Optic series is winnable for them. And we saw Optic today. Obviously, we just talked about the round 11 with Florida, and then they played Toronto, and they looked... You know, I think Optic look like a team, and they've talked about it, where they haven't had the best of practice the last couple of weeks for, you know, the issues with being at the headquarters, and they had to go to the headquarters, the old Envy office's new Optic headquarters, and then they had players get sick.
Shotzi got sick, yeah.
So I think their practice has been really up and down. They look like a team that has less reps than people. And so, you know, these land matches are super important. And if they can ease in and win that Florida match, I think they'll be coasting. But today they looked a little bit sloppy. They threw a couple of rounds in search. Some of the hardpoint rotations weren't that clean. Like, I think a lot of it is sort of self-inflicted on their side. And they clean up. I think they got a good path ahead.
Yeah, online they felt like, I felt like they weren't rotating at all in the hardpoints. Today it looked, they were a little bit more fundamentally sound,
which is a good thing. They were just blowing assignments,
yeah.
Though. Yeah.
No, they blew it, but I'm saying they looked better in terms of moving around the map. At least they were rotating the hills and locking up setups, you know, where online they were just breaking team. You know, they were just always breaking everything. So, you know, I agree with you. I think as the weekend goes on, I think they'll get better.
Well, there's like, so we talk about the Toronto series. I mean, we were watching it live. Like, they, that control that they lost to Toronto, like, they didn't pick up the pinch.
Yeah.
That's how they ended up losing.
And we've seen, how many teams have we seen today? Last guy
Outspawn
doesn't pick up the
pinch
and
hotel,
it costs
bro.
Them, bro. It's bad, bro. I mean, when you're lost Outspawn, it's a rule. It's just a rule in COD. Pick up the pinch. You have to, if you're the last one up, you have to turn around and watch that shit. And time and time again, we saw teams just not picking it up, and, you know, it was costing them. But Toronto Ultra, they 3-0'd Optic.
Yeah.
They came out and didn't, and, you know, they made a statement, I feel like, against Optic Texas. And, Pat, I kind of want to go to you here because this is your team. This is Toronto Ultra. You love these guys.
Yes, sir. Listen, Tom, I mean, I'm just, you know, I had to pick a team that I was going to pass my, you know, my tradition on to, Tom. And the Toronto Ultra is definitely that team. They're my 2023 world champions.
What about 2023?
And, hey,
it was his 2022 champions as well, and that just didn't happen. It was a typo, apparently.
It was bad writing.
Three
is
right next to two on the keyboard, guys. Like, come on.
That's facts. That is true.
But listen, yeah, I mean, they're slaying Optic just, I don't want to say about as good as me because it's really hard to hit that. But, I mean, hey, they're doing it in a great way. 3-0, dusting them out. I think Scrappy went like 26-12 on that last map.
Scrappy
had a
1.56. Yeah,
but catch this. But peep this. Not a single of his kills were traded. 26 kills, 26 non-traded.
Wow. Impressive.
Kills.
They couldn't kill him.
They couldn't kill him.
They screamed the entire time.
Hey, they couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill me. It's the same thing.
Stanny was getting loud. Stanny was also frying. I mean, it's good to see the two young guns basically slaying, especially for Standy, man. Standy was coming off a rough year on the rocker, not only as a team, but a lot of people were saying he doesn't deserve to be on this team. And he's, you know, he's been proven that guy's been frying. He's
bro,
been frying.
Bro, it's so funny. The two, everybody in the Minnesota situation right now is doing decent. Standy on a team just got our groups. Preston on a team just got our groups. Dylan, obviously their team is looking good. They have a good chance to get our groups tomorrow.
Yeah,
and Mike's team wasn't too bad.
We've always said that about Minnesota Rocket the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that bunch was not the right bunch within one another, but they all individually really good.
They're all good players in their own right. It's just finding the team that, you know, you
fits them.
Yeah.
And then obviously we got Optic, who's gonna be playing Florida again tomorrow. Who do you see coming out on top? I mean, I'm gonna go with Optic again. I felt like today it got close, but I think Optic Texas, if they come out and do their thing,
I think
that'll be good. Shotzi, by the way, was incredible for Optic.
Yeah,
I know he struggled a little bit in the first map, the first map against Toronto, he struggled. But he kicked it up as time went on. But he's such a playmaker for them. I mean, everything revolves around him.
I think sometimes he just needs to slow down, like, and just gather.
Yeah, he runs at people with the knives sometimes.
He does some crazy shit, you know.
Yeah. But he is fun to watch. I'm not gonna lie.
He's just one of those players that, like, if he's having, like, if he's on one, like, they're gonna win.
Yeah,
you know
his timings
he's
when his
that,
timings
he's
are on
impactful.
Point, and
yeah.
when he's staying ahead of the game and hitting his routes and playing his positions.
His game is very flow state like.
Yeah.
So when he's on it, like, he's playing really well.
If Florida right now is at their team dinner and they're watching the flank. If Vickle can slow down the gameplay tomorrow, Florida is going to 2-4-5 Optic and not let the game
two,
five
2-4 or
2-3? 2-4. They're going to 2-4-5 them.
They're going to win a hard point.
They're going to win a hard point. It's going to be Mercado. Vickle's going to slow it down, and they're going to win it. And it's going to be a 2-4-5. It's going to be like a 6-4 victory last map on Hotel.
I still think Optic's got it, as much as I love an underdog story. I think Optic is just obviously going to go back. They're going to watch that match. They're going to clean up their mistakes. And we already know the crowd's behind them. They're going to come back, you know, freshened up, and they're going to beat them. It shouldn't be as close as it was this time, assuming, you know, they learned from what they watched today.
We'll see. Florida impressed me today. I mean, Havoc was like that guy for Florida, bro. He was making absolute plays. So we'll see what kind of Florida we get tomorrow, and then we get on to Group C. This group got really interesting, man. We got Boston Breach, Elevate, Los Angeles Thieves, and Vegas. I think one thing that caught everybody by surprise was Boston Breach getting eliminated today.
Did anyone expect the Boston to be the team that got eliminated today, those four?
No. I didn't expect it.
I didn't expect it, but they haven't been looking as good since. I don't know if it's the M4 or just something
the M4,
happened
they haven't
with them,
won.
But they haven't been looking as good since the M4 got GA'd.
You think the M4 is a big problem? I don't know if that's really it. It might just be a coincidence.
I mean, it could just be a coincidence. They're so similar to like my team's downfall right now in Challengers, where we were like looking like a really good team, and then the M4 got GA'd, and like we've been kind of rocky, and we haven't been playing as well. Yeah. So like, who knows? Who knows what it could be?
Well, I mean, to be fair to Boston guys. Big Wake was...
I was going to say that. I don't know what happened. So for those of you who don't know, Big Wake actually got sick today before the second match, and they ended up bringing in Beans. I have no idea what happened with Big Wake. I was talking to Caesar because he was on the couch. He said he looked fine when he talked to him earlier today. I'm guessing maybe he ate something, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
Zinni tweeted out an hour ago. He said, I don't even have the words. Thank you, Beans, for filling in and hoping Awakening feels better soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then he tweeted again, but like that's just...
Yeah,
but I mean, like, it's not like Beans is a slouch, right? Like, Beans is a beast.
No, he's a beast. But I mean, when you change a player last second, I mean, you practice with a team, a full roster.
Did it happen mid series or before series?
Before the series.
And they already had lost a series too, and they lost
with
it
Awakening.
They lost it to Elevate.
They lost to the amateur team. Elevate came out to play, and we beat them.
An amateur team too.
I mean, at the
round
end
11, last map too.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. And Jay Gizmo put fucking
Gizmo.
Gizmo popped off.
Your dog Gizmo.
Yeah, Joe Gizmo, the man of the hour. When I'm fucking little Gizmo.
I don't think the M4 is the reason why they've gone worse, but, like, dude, Boston has actually been losing in some, like, very, like, unfortunate ways. You can go back and watch
close matches, bro.
Like, they're just having such close matches, and they're not, you know, they're just not clutching up.
They've lost three straight as well, right?
Three straight. They lost to Vegas today, and they lost to Elevate 2-3.
They lost two league matches last week.
Yeah, they lost four straight.
So they're on a four straight.
Were their league matches last map losses too?
Yeah, they lost to LG and someone else.
I forgot.
Did they go last map? One of them, I think, might have been a 3-1.
They went last map two times today.
They went today, but I'm talking about the loaders.
Think about this, though. Think about this. M4, they were 2-0. Scar Vaznev, 0-4. You gotta think. You do. You really gotta think. I mean, 0-4. That's a stat line. That doesn't happen accidentally.
I'm not gonna say that's the reason why they're struggling or any team would struggle. But at the end of the day, the M4 meta literally just changed the dynamic of teams because sub players actually have to play their roles. And like, granted, the sub is gross, and like, there are potential for you to do a lot of stuff with SMG. There's just clear defining roles that the SMG has to play. And on top of that, the pacing of the game changes, because as you could be aggressive with the M4, but the pace that you could play at with SMGs is just far faster.
Yeah.
So like, it takes adjusting, and it's not necessarily the weapon. It might just be the dynamic of the gameplay change that the Vaz.
That's fair. That's fair, Chris. But I think we do need to recognize that there might have been some M4 merchants up in Boston.
Hey, Pat, I feel like only time will tell. You know, we'll see what goes on with that. I don't know. I personally think it's a coincidence. I don't think it would affect it that much. I don't think it's that big of a difference.
They've lost two last maps.
They have two really aggressive sub players that have been like Vivid looked fantastic today in the Vaz. Like, he was frying.
I think they've literally, out of the four series they lost, the two on land, they lost last map, and I think one of their series on at home when they lost was also a last map.
But I think it was a reverse sweep.
Yeah, LAG.
The LAG one was a 3-1. They got reverse swept. Who'd they get reverse swept by?
You're right.
Subliners.
Someone knows.
Subliners.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like I said, like, they've lost three fucking game fives.
Something to consider though is the pacing difference between the M4. Like, all players running an M4 versus, you know, Vivid and Nero now running Vaznev's playing super fast, and Methods and Wake obviously on Scars playing a lot slower. Like, when they were all on the same weapon, I feel like their pacing was more aligned, and now it's probably separated a little bit.
Now that's a pretty good take, but at the same time, I think also the first week of matches, a lot of teams were getting their map pools. And if you watch Boston series, like, their first two series they won, people were probably underrating them versus, you know, especially like FaZe, they got their good maps, and people didn't probably know that what they were good at. And now, you know, after the first week, like, people catch on, they know your maps, like, you're just less likely to get some of those and guarantee map wins. So.
Yeah, they might need more time, and I also felt bad. I don't give a fuck how good Beans is. I mean, when you have to make a substitute before a match at a major, when you just practice with Wake for
last
weeks,
month and a half, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that sucks. Like, especially the Search and Destroy, where they got piss slammed on a last map.
Especially their best player, too. Wake is everything
Bennett,
for that
Bennett's
team.
Big Wake. That's like their Slayer, their Roamer. Yeah. They play around him, you know. So I just felt like it might have threw them off a little bit. I feel for Boston
about that
bit,
matchup. Yeah. We still got to talk about Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna get there next. Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to talk about Vegas Legion next. Vegas were able to take down Boston 3-2. They ended up eliminating them. Really good plays out of them, and then Vegas also took LA Thieves to a last map today,
right? Yeah,
which was I thought was incredible to see. TJ Haley looks fucking great.
That's a grudge match for Vegas.
TJ
bro,
looks fucking
TJ
insane.
TJ looks back.
He's back.
How was
bro,
it?
TJ
he's
has been bro. TJ literally had the Kenny, bro. TJ yeah, was been running an AR for like the last like couple. Like he ran an AR, I think, in the last like two games.
Yeah, and now he's got a sub that
now
he can get kills with.
Now he has actually SMG, and he's playing with good vocal players. He looks comfortable. Also, I know a lot of people saw this drama on Reddit and like Twitter and stuff like that with me and like Proloot. Like, listen, yeah. I'm never going to sugarcoat the way I talk about players. If they're underperforming, I'm going to tell them they're underperforming. Preston, good friend of mine, P-Dog, but I tell him he's underperforming, but when he's performing, I'm going to give him his flowers. Proloot played really good today.
Proloot was the next person on my list. Yeah. Proloot was like one of their better players today. Yeah, it was insane. I love seeing Proloot do well because I think he's a good player, personally. Yeah. I think he's a really good player, and I like what he brings to a team in terms of comms and just
I think he has a lot of intangibles,
passion,
and his S&D is really good. My thing is, the reason why Vegas was able to win was, granted, they won their couple of their searches. They actually were upsetting in these respawns, and I think Byron just playing better and not going having these like -10 maps is obviously going to help them because when one player like that is just playing so outrageously bad, like in from an individual perspective, it's going to make it harder to win maps. So him obviously stepping up in that category while still maintaining his S&D and obviously the intangibles they could bring in terms of the locals, like that's just that's a dub. That's
it,
a dub
it
for
was
Vegas.
Just cool to see even
what
for the
maps
first
map. Against LA
Thieves? I have no idea. I mean, we watched how many series today? 20 fucking series. But one thing I will say is Vegas outslayed the fuck out of LA Thieves in the first match, which was cool to see. The first map, I mean, if you're outslaying the world champions, like I feel like it
that's
says
a good look.
Yeah, it's a good look for your team. And in the S&D, the second map, I mean, LA Thieves reverse swept them. Vegas was up 2-0. It was Donnie in the round 11. Second map got an ace in the round 11. Donnie killed all four of them, so that was a fucking great play. And TJ had like 15 or 16 kills.
Wow.
So they were putting on a show, man. Vegas looked good. And then once LA Thieves won the control, it kind of flipped the momentum, and LA Thieves came back. It was great maps, close maps, but it was 11-2 from fucking Envoy to end things. So just really good plays from LA Thieves. It just kind of stayed level-headed.
I think looking back on it, Tom, that series they played against Minnesota last Sunday was, like, I think a big momentum swing for them because they were looking at an 0-4 hole and probably, like, a little bit of a tricky mental. They won that series and actually played really well against the Rocker team that I think was 3-0 at the time.
Yeah.
And since then, they come today again. They are very clearly not a bottom feeder team. Like, they're a serviceable team, and they have a very good chance tomorrow. They can get it done to get out of groups and do something.
And they play Elevate. Vegas plays Elevate, right? So that's who plays tomorrow?
To get out?
Yeah, so that's an elimination game. Whoever wins goes through. Yeah. Whoever loses is done.
I think that team just needed a W. Like, obviously, the whole thing with Vegas or Paris, prior, was they didn't win a series since how long ago? Like, I can't remember the
date. It was
365 days.
That is absurd. The fact that they haven't won a game since that long, and then obviously Donnie's been in this position where he's been going through that. Clay obviously hasn't been the best point in his career. TJ, these guys are all coming off like lows, maybe besides Proloot, because Proloot obviously got the sub in for Optic and he kind of like got to show what he was about.
Yeah.
But they're all coming off of very low points in their career. Right, we didn't even know if Clay was going to compete.
Yeah.
Like, I think they just need a dub under their belt because if they just kept losing, right, like these guys would get into that state where they're just like down bad and like. That win was so important for these guys because you saw the reaction, Donnie and Clay's reaction. They were so gassed
up. They were hyped when they won their first series online.
Listen, so
I will say this: Elevate to me they're a good team, bro. They're gonna have to go into that match tomorrow, ready to go. Because I don't give a fuck if they're from Challengers. They look good today, bro.
Yeah, look good.
They look good, and they were moving, and their players definitely have talent, man. So I'm excited for that one tomorrow. Who you guys got in that one? Vegas Elevate. Who do you got?
I'm gonna go with Vegas. We haven't talked about the Elevate boys.
Yeah,
they actually
look
pretty good today. So I think
Vortex is doing his thing. He was moving.
And I thought Jay Gizmo, and we've been very critical of Giz last year. He was very good online to get to LAN, and I just think the whole team environment is also dealing with some external stuff.
Yeah.
He really struggled at times last year, but I thought he came to this event today and played really good. And I would say that I think I have Vegas in a series in a game 5, but I think the Elevate boys are gonna make it pretty interesting tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go for Elevate. I'm obviously just gonna go for the challenger team here to qualify. Those guys are just deserve it, bro. Like, I'm not saying Vegas doesn't deserve to be in the major, but Elevate deserves like this type of spotlight. You got players on there that are severely underrated, like Vortex. He's probably been the winningest challenger player in Europe for a while, but he's that like leadership, that like objective type player where he's very selfless, right?
Yeah.
So he's not getting that spotlight, but he's a genius. He's a mastermind, very smart player. Then you got Denza, wildly talented SMG, was about to quit last year and are going into this year, and he didn't. He decided to stay with his duo Vortex. Gizmo was getting grilled last year, but I think he's one of those cases where he's a super talented player, but he just wasn't in the right environment. And Harry, another one, he was a sub on the Royal Ravens roster. Same thing. It's just there's just a lot of these players in challengers that don't get the opportunities to be put on the spotlight, or when they get these pro opportunities, they're not put in ideal situations.
Yep.
They're put on rosters to kind of almost like save them or like bail them out of like unfortunate situations and stuff like that. And it really sucks because then people see them in a bad light. They go back to challengers and they're never seen from again.
Yeah.
But good for them. For frying.
Yep, no, good on them. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Elevate versus, but we got a lot of elimination matches tomorrow. It's going to be fucking lit. And then we got Group D. We got Atlanta FaZe. We got LAG Academy. London, of course. And Seattle Surge. Obviously, for London, it was a rough one. We already talked about it a little bit. They ended up falling to Seattle today, right? Seattle, how did you think about the Seattle squad today? Obviously, they came out with a big dub. But how do you think they looked?
I think against the Seattle series, we lost 3-0, but I think it was a very close 3-0.
It was.
The first map, we had four sets of streaks, and we still lost. We were up, like, 80 points going to, the last Laundry Hill. And then we got full 60 by Max 3-Piece. I think, overall, I would say that we were the better team, but we did choke every single map. So, I mean, I think Seattle did clutch up.
We didn't talk about the Thieves at all.
We didn't talk about the Thieves? Did we move too quick?
They're
Group C. I mean, we'll talk about them. I mean, we're fine. It doesn't matter. We're good. We'll talk about them.
I was just going to say, against Seattle, we did get 3-0'd, but I feel like that first map was a big pivotal moment because we had four sets of streaks and we choked.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, no, Seattle Surge, I agree. The Mac 3-piece was a big one in the in the first map, so good plays out of him. And then I want to talk about LAG Academy a little bit because I think they're probably the best Challengers team, personally. I don't know what you guys
think. Playing against them, they are the best challengers team for sure.
I mean, I thought they looked good against Atlanta FaZe. They took Atlanta FaZe to a last map, and those guys are no fucking joke.
It was a weird series, Tom, because, LAG Academy looked really good in the hard points, and the control and the two SNEs actually really weren't that close. But I agree with you. I think LAG Academy might have a slight edge over the Elevate guys. I think that's a big, big tip to...
They're the number one seed in NA, right?
Assault, yeah. Adam Assault, Exceed, Joe Deceives. Who am I missing? Who's the fourth?
It's Diamond Con.
Diamond Con, yeah.
He played well today, too.
Diamond Con is a good special S&D star.
He had some good snakes.
He's good.
He's
some
special.
Typical
bro,
snakes at Diamond Con.
I'm going to say it again. A lot of people are like looking at this team. It's like another Challengers team. Yeah, they're in Challengers, but look who's on their roster. Assault, world champion, MVP.
MVP, yeah.
My son.
Exceed was in the league. Granted, he didn't get many opportunities, but he was on your team,
Rocker,
where he had to sub in and... No offense, your team obviously fell off towards the later stages. When you guys got back to the online stages, not an ideal situation. Back to challengers for him. Mm-hmm. Diamond Con was on New York.
All
another
year
team
with
that you were,
yeah.
yeah.
All
and
year
he was,
with me.
He was playing. He was playing good at points, and then whoop, back to challengers.
A team with three of those players,
bro. Yeah, that's actually crazy. But there's just so many of these situations where some of these players just don't get in the right environment, or just have like unfortunate starts, and they just they're never seen from again. But dude, these players improve.
Yeah.
These players. Obviously, are all pro capable. They're disgusting players. Props to them for obviously just sticking it out with their team and playing well. Also, Joe Deceives,
great player.
He surprised me. I'm not
he surprised
the
me as
reason
well.
Why.
Did he? I
is
thought people talk very highly about him though.
They
before
do.
Going
they
in.
They do. But usually a lot of people besides a couple of players like Scrappy for example, where this guy's gonna fry. Joe was still one of those players where I'm like, I don't know how he's going to do with his first event.
Because he came out
of
nowhere,
pressure.
Right?
Yeah,
he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. But, bro, he was getting loud. He was talking shit.
Yeah.
He obviously showed that he's a very confident player. And, obviously, he played well. They're in this position now.
Playing against him, to be honest, I knowing from prior history, me, MC, a lot of people who have their first event, they struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And, he honestly was very loud today. And he shit on us, to be honest. So,
he looked
props
good,
to him.
No, he looks really good.
I think he ended up going negative in the phase series, but I know he played really good in the second series.
No, he played really good against us, yeah.
Yeah, no, Jodeci's looked great. I just thought LAG Academy as a whole looked really good. Obviously, they took a phase to a last map. That one went 3-2. FaZe looked really good against Seattle. They 3-0'd Seattle. Which
I didn't watch that series.
I didn't expect a 3-0 FaZe. I thought we were going to see like a map 5, like a fucking nail biter.
That always happens to FaZe, though. Because they always have a sloppy first series, then they like come back the next one. They wake up. Yeah, I think that's really what it is with them.
Yeah, Pat, and I know what you're going to say, Pat, but before you say
what's he going to say?
Before you say it, every time FaZe and Seattle have played in the past, they have been very good matches. They've gone
every single time.
They match up really good against each other.
But
that's the only reason why I thought it'd be a close match.
I know what Pat's about to say. Here you go,
Pat. Also been the same story, Tom. And I'm tired.
What's the story, Pat?
I'm tired of Fraud Lateral getting away with it.
Who's Fraud Lateral?
Seattle.
Pat, did
Wait, what's the record against FaZe? I feel like they always beat FaZe.
No, they have a good record against FaZe.
It's not about FaZe. He's just talking about Seattle overall. Like a team.
Seattle. Yeah. They can only win one if Pred and Sib are frying, but two if their two other teammates don't just drop the absolute stinkers. And today, Mac and Lamar, two stinkers, like big-time stinkers. Think about this. Sid and Preb both had double the amount of kills that Lamar and Mac had. And listen, we've said it before. They had an awesome opportunity this offseason to pack a punch. They didn't. And I think it's really going to bite them in the ass this year.
So you're saying
you just can't compete if two of your four teammates are just throwing up absolute stinkers when you have clear stars on the team in Sid and Preb, right? We've known that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't have the consistency around those stars, it's not going to matter. Listen, the Lakers are going through the same thing right now. AD and LeBron, and there's no one else on the team to help. There's just nobody else. And I feel like Seattle's in the same boat. And if I'm Sid and I'm Preb, I'm going to management and I'm like, yo, either get me some damn help or I'm requesting a trade.
Well, listen, to defend Seattle, last year, what did they get first event? They got last.
They got shit on.
All right, so I mean, like, are we not gonna like? We shouldn't be just blown by them. Like,
but that's a bad thing.
This is Pat talking right now, not we. Don't
say hold on. Him. Yeah, but hold on, Simi. That's a bad thing because this was their whole thing last year. It was rock bottom to like mid pack to like rock bottom to win an event to rock bottom to third or fourth at chance, whatever they got. That's not a team I want to be on. Like, that's just all over the place.
They need more consistency. They're just not consistent.
Listen, guys,
it's because they have two superstar capable players that could definitely deliver multiple championships, and they just have too many inconsistencies.
Sometimes I feel like it's the superstars.
There's another way to look
at
it. It's not just slaying, bro. Like, their biggest weakness at the end of last year and why they lost to FaZe of champs was S&D. And so far this year, they've won one S&D the entire year. That was earlier today.
Yeah.
And then the second S&D against FaZe was pretty much one-sided. So, like, they got to figure out search. I think, you can't really do much about the talent gap right now. And I think Mac's got to be more consistent. And we know what Lamar brings. But they got to get better in search,
They can hear it.
Yeah. Sorry if you guys can hear
it's
the beeps.
It's the forklift. He's going in reverse.
Yeah.
So
chill out, bro.
That's not what that is.
Oh, God.
That's the fire alarm because the Seattle Surge camp is on fire. All right.
Last thing I'm going to say about Seattle, because we played them in a league match this stage. The thing about them is that their hard point is so good because they have rules and they follow those rules, especially Lamar and Mac. They're really good at following rules and like guidelines and like game plans, but in search you can't have a game plan. And I've played against them in search, and they're just so one dimensional.
Yeah, they do the same
thing.
It's
so frustrating. Like,
like
you can read them every time. Like I remember playing them on Mercado search and saying Mac and Dante are hedge, and guess what? They're hedge. They're every single defense, they're hedge. Mm-hmm. Like they need a little bit more like creativity.
I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of teams in a pro league like that, bro.
There's a lot of teams who've been doing the same shit every round, bro.
Caesar was talking about it on the couch when he was here. He was like, bro, I mean, I just watched their VOD, and like I saw where they played every round.
And then it was
free snipes.
I agree.
Like bro, I hate when teams play like that.
I hate
like
that, too. We were talking about earlier with FaZe. Like, you watch how FaZe played S&D today. They're definitely playing a little bit more Austin Lidicote style. They're playing for picks. A lot of mid-round calls, and it's very hard to game against because it's all situational S&D play.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just running defaults where you're just going to gun them in the same spots over and over and over. So
yeah, you can
literally
just...
think...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead, Chris. I was gonna say
you can literally play S&D, especially in a slower game like this, where you just spread the map and all pick random like lanes spots, and just spots where you want to like, oh, let me look for something, and then get information and just react. That's literally all you can do. You don't always have to game plan and stack this and hit this and nade this and rush this. Nope. You can literally play purely off of gather information, react. And that is just something that you cannot prep for.
You can't practice that.
Yeah, you can't prep for it. You just have to have like a knack for it. You just have to be good at it. That's something that I struggle telling my team to do is like they have such good game plans, but after they execute the game plan, if it doesn't net them kills, they almost like don't know what to do. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with.
No, there's a lot of pro teams like that.
100%. They do something, but nothing happens.
It's not just
what do we do?
It's a lot of pro teams.
What do we
like
do?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like individual players, you know, that just like go to the same spot every round. And it just gets to a point where it's like, okay, you know where they're going to be every round. I mean, Ben, when I used to play, I used that to my advantage all the time.
Mid map, London Ducks.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was different. That was run mid map and do whatever the fuck I wanted.
That's what you should have done on London Ducks.
Yeah. That was,
that was the game plan.
If you didn't get mid map control, you were chalk. So I just played the 1v1 every round and it was fun.
Before we move on, though, y'all didn't think that was crazy that as soon as we started talking about Seattle, you started hearing the little beep.
Wow.
I tried to tell y'all, Seattle's a blip on the radar. As soon as we started talking about it, you just hear the blip. Beep. Beep. I tried to tell y'all.
We can creep in person tomorrow when he gets here.
Well, before we move on, we do have an elimination game tomorrow. It's going to be Seattle Surge going up against LAG Academy, correct? Unless I'm wrong on that.
That's correct.
So who do you guys got?
So this might be worst possible case for Seattle.
Yeah,
because,
it's pretty bad.
And the reason why, just because I know these guys, they were good. They're a good S&D team. Like, I know they're a good S&D team from online, but their LAN HP is looking good. So, like, if they can sneak a hard point off Seattle, which is pretty one-dimensional in their game modes, this is not looking good for them at all.
I mean, yeah, we just got Nezla by LAG Academy. So
yeah,
I think
exactly.
If they
can steal that HP, which they were doing off FaZe, like
the bigger
they won
story
two
here.
Points against FaZe, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
FaZe
the bigger story.
Yeah, they've got Nezla and Nezla today. I agree.
Lamar
go ahead,
can't Pat. Beat Assault.
Ooh,
where did that come from?
That's true.
Lamar can't beat Assault. Where's this from?
Where's that narrative from?
Patches
World War
hates
II,
Lamar,
baby.
Bro.
Just that,
World
just
War
champs,
II.
Just okay. Champs, or how many times?
Listen, I agree with Chris, bro. This is like, if you had to pick for Seattle, like how you want this to go down, like LAG is actually a really tough draw for them. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, both teams have an opportunity to kind of go back and sort of game plan for this match because they're not going to play till really later tomorrow. Like, it's 4 o'clock, I think they're going to play. But
there's only one stream tomorrow?
No,
nah,
there's two.
There's
so,
multiple
so they play those elimination games at 4 and then 5:30. They're going to play the winners round one matches.
Okay, cool.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, no.
Because Code Ball is from like 12 to 4.
What the hell?
Yeah, so I think, bro, like I actually might go LAG Academy low key in this
game. You're going to go LAG Academy?
Yeah. The LAG Academy guys play the way they played today. I think they have a real chance to win that series, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Seattle Surge personally. Listen, bro, the way Pat be talking about Seattle Surge, you would think these guys are terrible. I just don't think like that when it comes to Seattle Surge.
It's for me, it's just hard to see a series where, like, if Seattle just keeps not winning surges, they're going to beat this team. If they play as good as they did today, which we'll see how consistent they are.
So you're telling me they've only won one
Seattle's
surge?
Seattle's 1-2.
Yeah, and it was on land. It was
wait,
today.
Wait, what map did they beat you on?
Oh, yeah, we lost Embassy SN, or Hardpoint. Then we played...
I gotta tell you right now.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't even know. It wasn't Fortress. It was a CeeLo. A CeeLo SND.
CeeLo,
that's
wow.
What it was.
They actually won that
well,
map.
Well, that's their map pick, though. If you look back in stage one, because we did VOD, they don't have any VOD on a CeeLo SND because that's what they pick, but it's always map 5, so they never get to that.
They never get to it.
Yeah, so today was the first time they played it against us, and they beat us. So I guess their best hard point or the best SND is a CeeLo, and they just got it today. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
the only way.
Go ahead, Pat.
The only way that Seattle wins tomorrow is if Pred and Sib come crazy. It's the only way. Otherwise,
nah, they come crazy
Academy's
every day.
It
yeah, it's you don't have to worry about
no,
those
but I
two.
Mean
it's
like
more
I
so
mean
about...
like crazy, crazy. So I mean like dropping 1.5s when your teammates got 0.5s for the dub. Like, that kind of crazy. Otherwise, LAG Academy's walking away with it.
It's got
to
be a respawn masterclass tomorrow for Seattle if they want
to
win.
Before we move on to some questions from the Atlanta FaZe booth, you want to talk about these a little bit? I mean, bro, they're the defending champs. I mean, these guys
are coming. We're just going to talk about Group D. We're doing the last group now, right?
We're done. That was Group D.
Okay.
We've gone through all the groups. But Chris wanted to talk a little bit more about LA Thieves. I see some people in the chat talking about LA Thieves.
Well, I saw their tweets about Vegas. Like, they said that it came too close to comfort. Like,
they're going to come out swinging.
Yeah, so, like, what happened in that series, like, against Vegas? I felt like LA Thieves went 2-0 today, so they advanced. But, like,
yeah, I think it was just a close series. Same with Elevate. I think they had some close hard points. But I think, if anything, that stands out about Thieves is they still got that composure. Right, they still have even though the series has been close, right? All their players are like playing their role well. You see Kenny running the sub. Still
I love Kenny
playing
in the
it
sub,
well.
Bro.
Envoy still being that little ratty player. You still have Draza popping off, slaying, and Sam, you know, doing what he does. They are.
Yeah.
I think granted that these guys have had close series, they still look like a really good team. They look well put together. Is my thing, and so we'll see how that continues in the tournament. But I think they just had composure.
And you got to think they're coming off a 2-event win right now. They won the last 2 events last year. They're feeling confident. I'm sure they feel that confidence. I mean, I'm sure they're challenging with confidence. You know, like, I mean, those guys are moving.
The one thing I will say about LA Thieves is, like, even when you go to the PPA or the backstage, like, when you see all these teams huddled up and like practicing and they're in their little booth. LA Thieves is just the only team that I've seen that just, like, not because they're laughing together and that their vibes are good. They're just the most, like,
relaxed.
They're just the most, like, in sync team ever. Like, they're just the most, like, the team culture there is so, like, ahead from all these other teams that it's absurd. And just walking by them, you can notice it. So I feel like that's the one big kudos that, like, we don't really give about LA Thieves.
That's what I'm saying. They're just so put together.
They're just so put together to get, like, in sync and, like, into one. Like, I know we always talk about Kenny and Envoy and all these players and Draza popping off.
They're all good. Octane.
Yeah, they're all good.
Good. Yeah,
but overall, what makes them the best team in the game is that they're just the best put together team.
They're in their bag, bro. Yeah. Plain simple. Like,
yeah.
They're here at every single event literally just looking for the dub. That's all they care about. They don't care about anybody else. Yeah. They just do their thing and focus on themselves.
Yep. Pat, any final comments on LATs before we head into some questions?
Yeah, I think they're looking good. I think they're a guaranteed candidate for top three this event. But I did like what you said, that they're in their bag. But the only issue is that Toronto Ultra is coming to rob that bag.
Here we go. This fucking guy.
And they will in the grand finals beat the LATs. At Raleigh, North Carolina.
We also didn't really touch on FaZe because we kind of glazed over both these teams because they both, like, obviously went 2-0. But, I mean, dude, FaZe, they still look good, right? They look good with Slasher. Celium is still frying.
Yep.
Abizi's been playing good. And Abizi and Vanguard, I think he started to get better at the end of the year, but it's good to see them. He's starting off well because last year that wasn't the case.
Single-handedly won them a map today.
Yeah,
he hit an ASIM route today. He hit a route, man. FaZe got a good team, for sure.
This gun has insane handling. Like, you can just full sprint people with the Vaznev, especially on land.
Yeah,
you just shotgun them. Like, dude, he's playing really good.
Slasher on that team too, bro. A lot of people question the Slasher pickup. I like it.
But they've been clean in search, and I think that's the biggest weakness from them. Last year, they were a good search team, but not a great search team.
Mm. Austin was what, like, the number one search KD all year last year. I mean, think about it. Like, they were struggling SND all year last year, so they replaced Alec with an SND star.
Yeah.
So I'm calling Austin SND star as well now.
He was playing a lot of SND last year. Yeah. You can call him SND star.
Just addressing somebody in the chat, FaZe was looking beatable. Every team was looking beatable. The only team that. Dude, even
because
Ultra,
everybody is beatable.
Yeah, well,
that's the problem.
Every team I went around for map five today.
Yeah,
no?
Map
every
five.
Team at least,
I mean,
like a map five.
Pat's talking about an Ultra. They went last map of Polo Drum.
Wait,
yeah, they did.
Guys, hold on. There's only one team at this event who's 6-0 in map count. And
New York
Toronto Ultra.
Oh,
New York
Subliners.
Ah, yeah, sure.
Subliners.
New York
Subliners.
Wow. But listen. Hey, there's only two teams. There's only two teams then that are on a six map win streak.
Okay. Move on to questions. Go ahead.
I want to bring up one more thing before the questions. How many hand towels did we see today?
From yours truly, I started that.
Did you
I start
the hand towels?
Yes, I
no,
did.
No, you did start the hand towels.
Bro, come on. You guys got to give me that. I started it, bro.
Nah, he did.
Bro, I saw Ender with it. I saw Scump with it. I saw Boston with it. I saw so many people with it, bro.
I mean, listen, I'm not trying to take away from your shine here. I'm really not. But I used to bring a towel sometimes. Very rarely. It was, okay. But it was mainly just loaded with Game of Grid.
Teams are going to start making like branded towels.
They're already
towels.
Doing it.
They should.
They're already
they should.
Doing
That's
it.
A great idea.
I think Toronto Ultra has them. Yeah, and they have branded bottles, too. The big jugs, the big water jugs.
That's actually lit.
Okay.
Those guys
they've been doing that
We have this one.
What is that? Oh, there you go. There you go.
LAG towel.
There you go. I told you.
Wait, no free promo.
Wait, that's not a towel, though. That's more like, this is not
that's
the
a
material.
Mouse pad, no?
That should be cleaning your glasses. That's
yeah,
what you
is
clean
like,
your glasses
like.
Yeah,
this isn't the right nod, bro. This
yeah, wait, what? Ben just set me up right there, bro.
Wait. Y'all should save that for me.
Wow. Yeah.
No.
Nah, bro.
I might have to go to the bathroom while I'm there.
No, I knew you were going there.
LAG's still in it for tomorrow, no?
Yeah, they're still in. They're still in it.
You know, we also saw it today, too. We were watching COD Mobile in the morning. They all use a fucking pillow, bro, where they rest
the
down.
Yeah, the pillow.
Well, they go like this because they just like kind of put it low.
All right, listen, bro. I got to say this, bro. COD Mobile, their camos are insane.
Their camos
are they actually?
What the fuck?
Wait.
Yeah, they're all animated.
Bro,
it looks so cool.
Excited.
It looks like Valorant.
I don't know if they were gassing it, but some people were like, they're like $300. Somebody was saying they were expensive. Because
you got to open cases to get them. Like, but they have the purifier skin that everybody uses, like the water skin. So it shoots water and not flame.
So why don't they do that for like us? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
just
cool.
Don't they have like 30 maps that are all remastered?
Yeah, they have all remastered maps.
We have 30 maps.
Bro, they had the best map set ever. Like, it's like the greatest maps all time.
We saw them playing Hossie Control today. That was hilarious.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, they play Control.
They play all the
they
good
play
maps.
Control. They play Search. Do they play any other game modes?
Same as us, I think. Hardpoint, S&D.
Do they play Hardpoint as well?
Yeah, they play Hardpoint, S&D, and they just started playing Control, I think, this year.
Oh, my God.
You know what's funny?
We have our rules.
So the COD Mobile stage, like, there's a bathroom behind it, and I had to go there because it was the closest one, and I went inside, and everyone was giving me love in the bathroom. Like, hey, so.
Really? That's fire.
I'm like, what's going on? Guys, they're like, dude, we're mobile pros. I'm like, oh, well, I'm a cop pro.
That's fine. It's cool that they're here. You guys can, like,
no,
you know,
you
talk
can,
to each other.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, no, let's get into some fucking
questions. I got three questions. So
perfect.
The first one is to Chris.
Hmm.
I don't know who this is from because they didn't write their name on it. Smash, marry, kill, Aches, Zuma, Ben.
Don't ask.
Chris already knows.
What is this question, bro?
Fucking
you gotta answer the question, Chris.
Nah, bro.
I feel like that's fucked. He's gonna kill one of us.
Yeah, that's it's a tough decision.
In COD.
Nah, bro.
Course,
I gotta listen, bro. I'll smash Pat because he's feisty, bro. I like
no way. Oh. See, this is the type of shit I'm talking about.
That is a turn that I did not expect.
Yo, next question.
What?
That's all you're going to answer? Just the fuck?
What the hell? So who are you marrying?
Yo.
Who are you marrying?
I'm going to marry Tom, Ben.
No way. Tom
put me on, bro. Tom put me on, bro.
Yo, Ben chops the question.
Tom is wifey, bro.
Yo, you chill out. Damn, bro. Go to the next question, bro. Damn, son.
So we got another unnamed question.
Yeah, 100%.
This is a good one to the group. What are you guys' thoughts on the CCL? Have you guys watched any CCL over the last couple of years?
No.
Watching any college COD league?
CCL? Yeah, I've been tuning into college
CCL.
COD,
What are your thoughts on CCL, Tom?
I love college COD.
I
was just talking to Meathead. He was right
here.
Remember Meathead from college COD?
Yeah, he's here
today. Oh, you don't know him?
No.
Oh, he's like a big gimmick in my stream, bro. Because I was like, Meathead going crazy, and he was here. Like, Meathead was literally here, bro.
That's so cool.
Yeah, no, I like College Gun.
I like that the program. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think collegiate esports is cool, but it is a little interesting to me because I believe Silly is a college Halo player and a college COD player.
Wow.
And a Challengers COD coach.
Wow.
So it seems
it
a little.
That's a triple threat. That guy's a fucking triple threat, bro.
Bro,
it seems a little crazy.
I honestly like that the program exists, and I could see in the future it might be like way more refined because I think something people don't understand is the problem with challengers is there's lack of support because a lot of people there's just not a lot of like teams investing in it, sponsors, you know, all that stuff. Like, it's just prize pools, and a lot of people are literally playing all day, every day. They don't have time to get a job and stuff like that. So they lack support. What does the college Call of Duty stuff offer? It offers that kind of support. It's got scholarships and stuff like that. It gives these players, you know, an opportunity to go to school while still pursuing, you know, Call of Duty as a profession or like a hobby. So I think it kind of almost like solves the issue, right? Of like not having support and being able to play Call of Duty on a competitive level. So I could almost see in the future, I don't know how, you know, far in the future, that a point where challengers and college Call of Duty almost like collide, mm-hmm. where like a lot of these up and coming players that are younger can still go to school while still pursuing a career in Call of Duty.
That's so. If people are not degenerates and actually go to school.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm
which
just saying,
is like, you know,
it
they
could
should
be
go
a
to
thing.
School.
It could
you know?
Be a thing.
Yeah, but I definitely think there's a lot of players and challengers who probably could be going to college COD and could be doing that
yeah,
shit.
But
and they just
the reason
it,
why
yeah.
some of those people obviously don't go to school or like do or like even have jobs is because of the schedule. Like, bro, some of these people are literally playing like the scrim start like 2 p.m.
Yeah.
East,
yeah.
which is like so ass backwards for people that you know don't have that kind of financial support because they can't even get jobs. They have to do yeah. stuff like oh, like DoorDash yeah. or like Uber Eats is like the only thing because they can make their own hours. I don't know. Weird thing, but.
All right, ahead, last question. I actually dropped out because I think this is a better question. So we've now seen 2 days of LAN play. The M4 obviously got GA'd 2 weeks ago. Do we think that was the right decision? Yes or no?
Yes, 100%.
Bro, yeah. What?
1 bajillion percent.
1 billion,
it depends on who you ask.
Trillion.
It depends on who you ask.
Okay.
Austin Breach is absolutely saying no, it was not a good decision, but... But I think, yeah, from a watching perspective, I think it's been a big plus.
The only thing I don't like about the current meta is the inconsistency with the SCAR. Because, I mean, dude, you played against it. You sometimes just get one bulleted, no bullshit, by that gun because of the multiplier.
That headshot
right.
multiplier.
Yeah, and the only thing about the M4 meta was the M4 didn't have a multiplier. So I'm glad the SMGs can compete. Don't get me wrong. It's more so for AR to AR gunfights where, like, sometimes you'll jump around a corner and, like, obviously COD's not that game where you can just, like, perfectly center all the time. Like, you just shoot the first thing you see. And, like, sometimes you're just going to get a 3-bullet kill.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to hit the guy 4 to 5 times and he's not going to die. And you're going to lose it even though you felt like you hit mm-hmm. them, hit him the same amount of times. That's the only thing that sucks about this meta. And hopefully we might actually have a solution with the patch that comes out, that came out recently. Have you guys know anything about the patch that just came out, like the balance changes?
Nah, I haven't even heard about
it. So the cast off 545, the worst AR in the game before, got a buff where it now has a 3-bullet kill just like the SCAR, but it shoots slightly faster. It recoils more, so it's not as like beamy as the SCAR. And it just handles better.
Could be like an in-between.
So it
gun.
Could be an in-between, and that's yeah. what I'm talking about, where it still has gun. It still has the potential of a SCAR, but it's probably a little bit, you know, better in terms of the handling. So maybe we see a 3-gun meta if, you know, pros aren't stubborn.
Yeah.
Or maybe the cast off just replaces the SCAR because I mean, right now, I think the SCAR is in a good spot, but I think the Vaznev is absurd compared to the SCAR. The SCAR is still good, don't get me wrong, but I think the Vaznev right now is dominating.
Well,
so
I think it's balanced.
We'll
I think
see. I don't know. I haven't tested the gun. Don't quote
Wait,
me on
the
this.
Wait, the Vaznev ain't it's dominating.
Just, bro, the Vaznev is absurd. There are some players going off with AR, but I've seen some Vaznev. I've seen Vaznev
I think it's.
Off
I think
today.
It's pretty even right now. I like that we have a good balance. I like that we have a sub that literally shotguns you up close and you have an AR
yeah,
that
I mean,
fucking
I think
you at range.
I think
yeah.
the
you
balance
know what I'm
is good, but I think the Vaznevs have been absurd.
I think both guns are absurd, and that's a good
both
thing.
Guns are, yeah.
You
I
know,
both guns
and it's
equal.
Better than having an M4 in there that is
no,
a do-it-all.
I mean,
you know,
I promise
where,
you, if
I
we
mean,
had M4,
it
would be 4M4s every map.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing that. I just think who knows what this gun brings. We might see 3-gun meta. Shit, we might see the cast off just take over. But
yeah.
I think it's probably a viable weapon.
Yeah, well, guys, that's probably going to do it for us today. Pat, you're going to be here tomorrow, right? You coming tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow I roll up.
That's
tomorrow
what I'm talking
nice.
About.
Let's
and
go,
ladies and gentlemen, we got Patrick Price who's going to be joining us on the couch here for the flanks, man. So that should be a good time. But, guys, hey, that's going to do it for today. We had like a 9-10 hour watch party. We had a pretty good show. I hope you guys enjoyed all the content today. We're just getting started. It's day one. It's Thursday. It's been an honor to be here, bro. Like, I want to give a huge shout out to Esports Engine. I want to give a huge shout out to the COD League. Huge shout out to FaZe Clan for helping us with all this stuff, man. Bepsy. Bepsy's going to be coming with us everywhere we go. He's a little sick today, so Bepsy ended up staying home, but you'll see him throughout the weekend. But Bepsy hooked all this shit up, so I just want to give a huge shout-out to him. Anybody else? Am I missing anybody?
Tom, you hit 16,000 subs. Shout-out to the
Yeah,
team.
We hit 16,000 subscribers, man. Give yourselves a round of applause. You guys came in fucking crazy today. I mean, seriously, guys, if this goes well this weekend, which obviously it is as of right now, it's been fucking incredible. I mean, we're expected to be at every major this year. So obviously we want to go to Boston, we want to go to New York, we want to go to How You Doing, Bada Bing, forget about it, you know what I'm saying? We'll see what the fuck happens with that shit. But we really appreciate all the love and support, man. It's been absolutely incredible. And like I said, I've been live for 10 hours. We've all been here for all day. And the energy in the chat just keeps it fucking pushing, man. Keeps it going. So just thank you guys all so much for all the support. Shout out to everybody again. And make sure to like, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Anchor.fm/TheFlank. To check out all the audio sites that we're on and go to @TheFlank on Twitter. Gert's doing a phenomenal job running socials. As always, guys, take care. Brush your hair. We don't got a pot. We don't got a potter. Ben, you got to get a potter tonight. You got to go to the store and get a potter.
No, we have a potter. We got to get a putting mat.
Okay, we need a putting mat. So maybe we'll figure that out, you know, during the weekend. But it's been a long day, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Make sure to go follow @TheFlank on Twitter. And as always, take care. Brush your hair. We'll see you guys tomorrow, man. Take it easy.
Peace, guys.